John Paul taught that human acts are moral acts because they express the goodness or evil of the individual who performs them. They do not produce a change merely in the state of affairs outside of man. They give moral definition to the very person who performs them. The Pope liked also to quote St. Gregory of Nyssa, who said, "All things subject to change and to becoming never remain constant, but continually pass from one state to another, for better or worse. Human life is always subject to change, but here birth does not come about by a foreign intervention. It is the result of free choice." We are, in a certain way, our own parents, creating ourselves as we will by our decisions. Which I guess means if you are living well and morally, don't become conceited, you are also your next act. And if you are living badly and sinfully, don't become demoralized, you can become a saint. What all of this means in the end, what it means is that God is with you as you search for Him, with you as you find Him, and with you as you try to understand and do the right. It means you are not alone. And if you are not alone, well, you have little to fear. Be not afraid. So, these are some of John Paul's beliefs, in brief, and drawn with some obviousness and crudeness. He did not draw them so, and he held them truly and passionately. And yet, this very human Pope had his own difficulties, and knowing of them is, to me, inspiring. John Paul had what seemed to me an extraordinary interest in something that might be surprising in a pope, or perhaps surprising if you forget that a pope is a man. A pope is human. It can perhaps be referred to as the struggle of the ardent Christian who seems to lose Christ. The struggle of one who has already found God and made his decision for God and adheres to God, and who has yet, at the same time, and sometimes for a long time, lost the consolation that that knowledge tends to bring, or lost even the interior knowledge that God exists. Imagine that trial. Imagine that you have given your life to God, your whole life to His service, as a minister or in the convent or as a monk in a monastery. Imagine it as a mother who has built her entire family around faith and then seems to lose her love and certitude. Imagine beginning to lose the feeling of the knowledge that the life you gave was given to something real. You have doubts. You wonder if you were deluded. Maybe you made a mistake. Maybe, therefore, to some degree, your whole life was a mistake. This phenomenon has been given a famous phrase, the dark night of the soul. It is sung of in St. John of the Cross's Canticles. Interestingly, John Paul has always been drawn to St. John and wrote his doctoral thesis on his thinking. The dark night was experienced, too, by St. Teresa of Avila, to whom the Pope was also drawn. St. Teresa of Lisieux, a hero of the 20th century church and a doctor of the church, also spoke of it and wrote of it. And now we know, and the Pope would have known long ago, for he was her friend and her great supporter, that Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa, also knew the dark night. In the May 2003 issue of First Things, the scholarly American magazine of religious belief, there is a quote from the soul of Mother Teresa, Hidden Aspects of Her Interior Life, by the priest who was the postulator in the Vatican for Mother Teresa's cause for sainthood. The priest had conducted a lengthy and comprehensive investigation of Mother Teresa's communications throughout her life with her spiritual directors, and he found that she had experienced four stages of her spiritual life, and the one that lasted longest, as long as the previous and happier three, was her own dark night. The priest wrote, "Throughout 1946 and 1947, Mother Teresa experienced a profound union with Christ. But soon after she left the convent and began her work among the destitute and dying on the street, the visions and locutions ceased, and she experienced a spiritual darkness that would remain with her until her death. It is hard to know what is more to be marveled at," he wrote, "that this 20th century commander of a worldwide apostolate and army of charity should have been a visionary contemplative at heart, or that she should have persisted in radiating invincible faith and love while suffering inwardly from the loss of spiritual consolation." In letters written during the 1950s and 1960s to her spiritual directors, Mother Teresa disclosed feelings of doubt, loneliness, and abandonment. God seemed absent, heaven empty, and bitterest of all, her own suffering seemed to count for nothing. She wrote of just that terrible pain of loss, of God not wanting me, of God not being God, of God not really existing. Think of that, the words "of God not really existing," this from a woman who had built her life around him and who seemed to so many of us the perfect reflection of him. First things wondered about, and offered an answer to, the meaning of Mother Teresa's private writings. The priest wrote, "It means that the missionary foundress who called herself God's pencil was not the God-intoxicated saint many of us had assumed her to be. We may prefer to think that she spent her days in a state of ecstatic mystical union with God, because that would get us ordinary worldlings off the hook. How else could this unremarkable woman, no different from the rest of us, bear to throw her lot in with the poorest of the poor, sharing their meager diet and rough clothing, wiping leprous sores, enduring the agonies of the dying for so many years without respite, unless she were somehow lifted above it all, shielded by spiritual endorphins? Yet we have her own testimony that what made her self-negating work possible was not a subjective experience of ecstasy, but an objective relationship to God shorn of the sensible awareness of God's presence. To me, that is just amazing. To live as she lived, without the consolation of belief, to do what she did without the reliable feeling of internal joy or even security, that is heroic. Mother Teresa was heroic. And it is very interesting to me that John Paul was drawn to that kind of hero. It is inspiring that he had such deep respect for her questing, doubting, and honest mind, and that knowing what he knew, he pushed and even rushed forward her cause for sainthood.